This is your second book, and it's a story of Japanese picture brides coming to the United States in the early 1900s to marry husbands they don't know, and in all likelihood, lead lives they don't expect. That's my take. How would you synopsize this book?
Oh, I mean, I think your take is actually very accurate. It is about, well, first of all, it's told in the we voice, the first person plural, and we being a group of 100 plus young girls, actually, some are 14, 15, 16 years old, who've come over to America from Japan in the early 1900s to marry husbands with whom they've corresponded over the months and exchanged photographs with, but they have yet to meet their husbands in the first chapter, which is set in the steerage compartment of the ship bringing them over. And often what they found when they got off the boat was that the man standing there before them on the dock in San Francisco bore no resemblance at all to the man in the photograph. So for us Japanese Americans, it's a very common first generation story. Thousands of our grandmothers came over as picture brides. So I follow their lives through the 20s and 30s, but often 3 or 4 days after landing in America, these girls, rather than living the expected lives of leisure, they're picking lettuce in the fields, picking tomatoes, and working as migrant laborers in California, a common story. Or they ended up living in cities in what we call Japan towns and working often as either in laundries or as maids for a wealthy white woman. So I follow their lives up through until the beginning of World War II, which is actually where my first book begins. So it's kind of a prequel to my first novel.
What, you know, this is such an interesting story that maybe hasn't been told all that much, the story of picture brides. What is it that captivated you about this? Why did you decide you wanted to tell this one?
Well, I didn't know what I was going to write about when I finished my first novel, but when I was touring California for my first book, people in the audience would come up to me afterwards and they would just start telling me stories about Japanese Americans, about their, you know, their mother or their grandmother or their great aunt who come over as a picture bride. And, you know, when she got off the boat, she was shocked to find out he was so short or so dark or so ugly or so old. And I just heard so many different variations of the story, and it was really, I was fascinated. I mean, I think I'm kind of interested in fate. I mean, you're just assigned a mate pretty much at random, and you have to make it work with that man. There was no going back for these young girls because they were too poor to afford the ship passage back home. And I just thought it was really brave. Because, you know, we think of Japanese women as being kind of very feminine and demure, but these were actually tough pioneer women who were just working mostly with their bodies, this hard physical labor all day long. And we don't hear a lot about them. I don't know why, because there were many of them. And it is a known story, at least within our community. I don't know, I was just fascinated at how they had to somehow make their lives work. Very, very difficult lives. I think none of them had any idea of the prejudice that they were in for. There was so much anti-Japanese sentiment at that time, and it was very, very difficult.
There's a little bit of a modern parallel in terms of the picture not depicting what you expect.
Well, it's kind of like an internet date for life. And also, I mean, even now you have mail order brides from, you know, Ukraine, or, you know, it still goes on now, that practice. So,
what made you decide to write this book in the plural voice?
I stumbled upon this voice. I actually started telling the novel from the point of view of one picture bride at first, and it was not working. It felt very flat, and I just ran across so many interesting stories in my research, and I wanted to weave them all in. And then one day I was looking through some old notes and I saw this line that I'd written weeks ago that I didn't remember having written, but it was now what is the first line of the novel, which is, on the boat we were mostly virgins. And as soon as I saw that line, I thought, aha, that would be the perfect first line for the book. And it gave me the idea for what I call the we voice.
How long did it take you to write this book?
It took about 8 years. I did a lot of research. I didn't know anything about the old Japan from which these girls came. I knew nothing about farming. I mean, I grew up in California, so I know about the landscape there, and I know a lot about what happened during World War II to the Japanese, because my family was sent away to the camps during the war. So I kind of know that story, but I didn't know anything about when crops ripen, when you plant things, you know, how to plow a field. I had to do all this research and learn in order to tell this story well. But it took a long time. But I just kept notebooks filled with details about everything.
And then after you felt that you'd sort of accumulated a critical mass of knowledge, then did you?
Then I need to write every day. So I'm simultaneously researching and writing at the same time. But at a certain, probably the first couple of years were more research intensive years. And then once I had enough information, I could just kind of begin to write.
And now that this book is going to be the subject of a lot of discussions, a lot of activities, a lot of hubbub and buzz surrounding it, is there anything that concerns you? Is there something that you would like to make sure gets conveyed or not? Or you know, it's not really your job to do that.
No, well, actually, and I get asked that a lot, you know, like, what is the takeaway for, you know, but yeah. I am not prescriptive about, I think reading is, it's a totally personal act, and a book is a different thing for each reader. It's whatever you bring, you know, to the manuscript as you are reading it. So I think reading is it's a very personal, it's a very intimate experience, but I think it's different for everyone. So a book could mean something completely different to one person, you know. So, I mean, I just hope that, you know, a reader just can enter into this world and take away from it whatever it is that seems real in the book for them, that's fine with me.
I know that sometimes in books, you know, music plays a role. If you think about as you're writing, or if you think about your book, is there any piece of music that comes to mind?
Actually, when I'm writing, I can't listen to music at all. But this book came to me very much kind of almost metrically in terms of rhythm. I was constantly reading my words out loud to myself, and I could sometimes hear the rhythmic pattern of the next sentence that I wanted to write before I knew the exact words to drop into that pattern. And I mean, I kind of think of Steve Reich, you know, that kind of that repetition. It's kind of compulsive, propulsive, but there's this steady, rhythmic, hypnotic beat. And I kind of feel like that's something that I'm aspiring to do with language. I mean, I feel like there's this kind of secret underground rhythmic grid that holds the story together that has nothing to do with plot or with character, but it just has to do with the sound of the language and where the accents fall, literally, on the words, just the sound of words and language.
I did read that when you started deciding that you wanted to write more, you read Henry James, I guess Hemingway, and sometimes your style is described as spare.
I don't think that's always true.
Okay.
I actually feel like this book is extremely dense, but I think people, you know, I mean, maybe because I'm Japanese American, that, you know, they often see like haiku-like, very spare, very poetic. But I mean, I feel like every sentence is packed with information, so the language feels dense to me. I think my first book actually was spare, but I feel like this, my new book, it doesn't feel spare at all. I mean, it's pared down, it's short, but I don't think sentence by sentence it's spare.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.